Hey, this is Carl with Carl and Crew Mornings. You're listening to the Carl and Crew Showcast. All right, guys, it is 5:01 on this beautiful Wednesday morning. Yeah, Wednesday morning.
It is a Wednesday.
And it's nice out there, man. Right when I was just hitting the door, it started to rain.
Isn't that weird? I was right behind you, and I stayed in. I'm like, whoa. All of a sudden, just like a splash of this shower, and then it went away.
Oh, it went away?
It went away.
It was so nice.
That quick.
There was no rain by me, so.
Wow.
Yeah, I didn't see any rain either.
Little drizzle coming in. Good stuff, man. We're going to have a great day. This is a whole week committed to living without burnout. You ever been burned out? And when was it? Super die.
Let me see. This past weekend, probably?
Yeah. Recent, folks.
Very recent. Very recent.
I felt really burnt out my senior year of college.
Really?
Yeah, I felt extremely just, you know, when you just, you're so burnt out that you just can't do anything more.
Yeah, absolutely.
That was me at the end.
That's painful. It just feels like, oh boy, what are we going to do here?
Mm-hmm.
What about you, Allie?
I think the last time I felt really burned out was in March of this year.
Really?
Yeah, I went through a little intense, probably 3-4 weeks of feeling really burned out.
Yeah, man, and that burned out feeling can manifest itself in a lot of different ways.
How about you, Carl?
You know, I'm sitting here asking this question and then thinking of it for myself. It's been a while. I praise God for that. I don't know why that is. I think it's important to take some breaks from time to time. It's important for you to not put too much pressure on yourself to perform. Performance pressure.
Oh, man. I was literally just thinking about that today.
Doesn't performance pressure just fry you?
It does. It's stuff that you say to yourself like over and over again on a loop tape.
Yeah. Yeah. Performance pressure is enormous. And when you're a young person, I don't know how you can avoid it. In all seriousness.
It's true.
My adult kids, one of the, you know, they're great kids. They got phenomenal character. And they're truth tellers. You know, they live by the book. But I'm telling you, they get hit between the ears with performance.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm so anti that because it's so out of the pit of hell.
Yeah.
I just go beating on that thing with them.
That's
I bet
good.
I bet yeah. I pray once a week against that on behalf of my adult kids because it's an ever-present danger.
Sure. Do you think it's because you experienced that when you were younger too? So you know the feeling?
Probably. I just think it's one of the great maladies of our day today. I think people pleasing, performance, all that stuff. It probably isn't any heavier than it was many years ago. Because you look in the scriptures and you see people pleasing everywhere.
Yeah, right?
I'm not sure it's any worse.
Yeah, I think there's nothing new under the sun, but I think what is sort of new is this the platforms that we have.
Yes.
Don't do that to me when I'm sipping coffee. When I think about platform and branding and all that stuff.
Well, now, I mean, everybody always had kind of an outsized sort of delusion that everybody's watching me. You know, everybody's paying attention to what
true.
I'm doing.
Yeah.
Everybody always kind of felt like that.
Right.
You know, in middle school, you feel like everybody notices that I've got this stain on my shirt. My life
pimple.
Is ruined.
Yeah.
Or this pimple. But now, because of social media, there's this feeling that if I disappear from social media, if I'm not posting, if I'm not out there doing things, if I'm not promoting, then people will think I'm, you know, I'm nothing or I'm not doing anything good in my life.
And if you aren't anti something, you know, it's not even about, it used to be, if what are you for? Now it's what are you against?
Oh, man.
No, really?
Yeah.
I mean, on every side. I mean, on every side.
Well, and then everyone's watching, too.
Yeah.
So if something big in your life happens, there's no more privacy.
All right, let's shut her down, people. No, it's a tough deal. Which sets us up beautifully for our topic today, living unseen. Now, living unseen is a bit dramatic because we're not talking about Mr. Invisible. Remember the guy on TV that could spray the stuff on himself and then he would disappear?
I always thought that was pretty cool.
I always did too, but then I realized that's a hard film to shoot when you've got a character in the film that isn't there.
Yeah.
But yeah, Mr. Invisible was an interesting guy. But, you know, I think sometimes as much as we say we want to remain unseen, we live in that tension. But the real benefit from burnout is to live unseen. And we're going to talk about that today from the Word. We've got so many passages of Scripture that illustrate this, especially from the life of Jesus in his teaching and Sermon on the Mount. But here's a little statement I want you to cogitate on, Boom Crew. The showiness of life can diminish the substance of life. Anyone else ever felt that before?
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's amazing, isn't it? How we can sometimes walk away from a conversation or an event that you go to and you kick yourself in the rear going, I didn't live by substance. You wouldn't say it this way, but if you could, if you would think in these terms, did you live by substance in that party or did you live by showiness? God, burn it. And I've seen I've seen the greatest of spiritual leaders fall into that funk before.
Oh, yeah. Or you say something. And you, in your heart, you know, it's to kind of impress or to, and you go, why did I do that? Why did I do that?
Right. Why did I drop that name?
You know, you just say a little something about your, what your kid is doing or about, and you, it's so subtle, but it slips in. And then you, I believe if you're walking with the Lord, you get that check that goes, come on.
Well, the Holy Spirit says, I told you not to do that. Yeah. Now you feel like an idiot. So let's clean that up and go at it again.
Yep.
Cool stuff.
Yep, yep.
All right, coming up here straight ahead, we had a guest who wrote a book called Getting Over Yourself.
Great title.
What? I think the cover is the best. I think it's the best. I'm writing a book at Moody. I won't have a cover that good. Ain't no way. No way. No matter what it is, you can't have a cover that good. That's a great cover. Yeah. But, guys, I got to tell you something. We are fired up about this. So hang on. Coming up in just a moment.
Yes, Dean and Sarah, Getting Over Yourself.
Living unseen today. Why don't you pray about that right now? God, make me powerful in the shadows.
That's good stuff. Hey, I'm Young Thunder, and you're listening to the Carl and Cruz Showcast.
Well, we got a guy here today, Boom Crew, who's going to mix it up in a big way. The title of the book, Getting Over Yourself. Dean and Sarah is with them. Let's give them a proper intro, Allie.
Dean is the founder and lead pastor of City Church in his hometown of Tallahassee, Florida. His books include The Unsaved Christian, Without a Doubt, and the one we're featuring today, Getting Over Yourself, Trading Believe in Yourself Religion for Christ-Centered Christianity.
It's weird, Dean. Oh, by the way, welcome. Good to have you with us in Chicago, my man. Thank you.
Hey, great. It's awesome to be with y'all. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's really weird because the promises of God, I mean, you listen to C.S. Lewis and he says, if you consider the promises of God, the unblushing promises of God, I'm doing a loose quote here. He says, it would seem that we settle for too pitiful little. And it's weird because you're right. We've got this weird prosperity doctrine out there that's telling us to focus on ourselves, and yet we do settle for too little. How do those things come together, Dean?
Well, how it comes together is we are believing the hype that the world is what we should still be pursuing, yet we're sprinkling that pursuit with some God-faith Bible language on top of it to help us feel like it's Christian. So why we're settling for too little is we're settling for things that are temporary. What's happening in this new prosperity gospel is that we are making really following Jesus more about us pursuing our dreams and he being our life coach. Rather than Jesus actually being the dream and he being the greatest blessing that there is in all of existence.
Mm. Now, Dean, is this new? You said it's the new prosperity gospel. Is this different from what's kind of always been the risk? What do you see in it that's new?
Yeah, it's a newbie. The old prosperity gospel is your classic, you know, call this number at the bottom of the screen or have enough faith and you'll have your disease healed. You'll be taken out of debt, you know, something along those lines. The new prosperity gospel isn't as fringe as that or even as weird or strange in people's eyes. It's very cool, very savvy, very hip, very trendy. And what it says is that basically God exists to make you happy, to help you discover the potential inside of you that just needs to get unlocked so you can reach your destiny and pursue your God-sized dreams. And what's troubling about that, and it's definitely new because Instagram and social media fueled it, what's troubling about that is that message only works for a Western American affluent culture. it doesn't make sense for believers in different parts of the world who don't have the opportunity to go pursue God-sized dreams in the context of the things of this world.
Hmm. Yeah, but Dean, what's interesting in your book kind of expounds on this. It doesn't work for us either, because we go following our dreams with, we think, fueled by God, and we run into a pick and brick wall because our dreams never end as well as we think they will.
Yeah, absolutely right. And I'm concerned that we have a faith crisis coming for people, because this is still the first generation of the full-blown messaging of this new prosperity gospel. So I'm worried a faith crisis is coming for people that have held God to promises they never actually made, that they're going to be disappointed with God when they don't land that perfect job or have the perfect family or live in the amazing city, whatever it might be. And also, I think another big thing that's coming is a suffering from what I just call chronic discontentment, where nothing is ever enough, nothing is ever satisfying. There always has to be more out there, because the messaging continues to push you towards that understanding.
We have Dean and Sarah with us, founder and lead pastor of City Church, author of a book, Getting Over Yourself, Trading Believe in Yourself Religion for Christ-Centered Christianity. Coming up, this question. We've established the problem. How do we discern and combat popular theology and make sure we hold a biblical theology? That's coming up.
Are you taking notes? Because I know I am. Hey, I'm Sputnik, and you're listening to the Carl and Crew Showcast.
Our guest, Dean and Sarah, right now, author of the book, Getting Over Yourself, Trading Believe in Yourself Religion for Christ-Centered Christianity. So, Dean, we've established that the new prosperity gospel is a danger to the church today. How can we be equipped to spot it, call it out, and believe differently?
I think we need to have discerning hearts and discerning minds, and not in a way where we're nitpicky and tearing everything apart, not that, but just in that we have an expectation that the gospel of Jesus Christ is the center of every messaging we have that comes from the local church. So we need to make sure that our pastors, we're not a part of churches, no matter how great the experience is and how amazing the music is and all those kind of things, that we're not going to churches where the pastor is basically giving us a self-help message in the form of a TED Talk that's helping us just feel good about ourselves. I want to leave church on Sunday feeling great about Jesus and feeling great about my identity in him and who he has made me, not in some secular dream to go pursue that has God's endorsement on it. So I just think we have to be really careful that we can get sucked in so easily that the messaging really is about Christ. And the application for me is now how I live for Christ based on the scriptures, not on some cultural understanding of pursuing the wind.
Now, Dean, are you against social media and the use of these kind of platforms to promote what a church is doing?
Oh, I love it. I love social media. I use Twitter. I use Instagram. Our church does. I think all those things. Let's let people know. Let's let people know what's going on, and let's get the gospel in front of them and the local church messages in front of them. Let's just not use it to pretend like we're about Jesus when really we're about ourselves, kind of a dramatic background of some, like, you know, standing over looking at the water with some out of context Bible verse or, you know, something about that. I hope people use social media. Use it for God's glory. Use it for his mission. Also use it for fun. I want people to be able to enjoy themselves and live a life that has joy. But let's just not make it so self-centered that's trying to push our perceived greatness out into the world.
Dean and Sarah with us right now. Getting Over Yourself is the name of the book, Trading Believe in Yourself Religion for Christ-Centered Christianity. This is spot on. Here's a crazy conundrum. Why are preachers dishing up basically glorified TED Talks when that comes so far short of really dishing up the gospel and all of the amazing spiritual anecdotes that we find being filled with the Holy Spirit? Why are we settling for less?
I think because it works from just a pragmatic sense. Now, we see that a lot of very progressive, and by progressive, I mean theologically, not politically, churches are declining and dying. But the new prosperity gospel churches aren't, because they're not preaching a heresy. They're not denying essential doctrines of the faith like some of the ultra-progressive theological churches would. Instead, they're just allowing you to have enough Jesus to be associated with, but not so much where you're personally inconvenienced. So they're not going to take hard stances on matters. They're not going to know what they believe on a lot of hotbed issues. They're not going to take the scriptures any more than the surface. So it's easy and it works. It's a really low cost of entry, a big, huge, wide open door, which I'm all about. Let's reach as many people as possible and welcome as many people into the door as possible. But once they get in, let's actually give them the scriptures. Let's give them Jesus, not a TED Talk that is about this world with little Jesus on top.
To someone listening who goes, yeah, I've been going to church for the purpose of what I can get rather than who I can know, How do they make that shift?
Well, stop seeing church as an experience. That's one of my pet peeves. I'm not trying to be nitpicky. When people see, come to this experience and see church as that, I worry for folks that they, if they had to move out of a city that had these really like large, big music, and I love those kind of churches. And I love that side of things. That's my preferred style. But if they had to move to a small town tomorrow, where because of family issues or maybe a job transfer that didn't have some dynamic, by dynamic, I mean with all the stuff, you know, kind of church, that they wouldn't be able to survive because their church experience is so tied to that an experience.
Yeah, you're
what
right about
I
that.
What can I be a part of rather than what can I be a part of? So I want people to see church something they can be a part of rather than just an event they can attend. Like, how can I be a part of this church? How can I serve and be a missionary for this church in my community and beyond? So that mindset shift from how can I be served, how can I have an experience, to how can I be a part of this community.
Guys, it's a good read, Boom Crew. You're going to want to get a copy. It's called Getting Over Yourself. The cover alone is worth the purchase.
It's great.
The cover alone is worth the purchase. Check it out, moodypublishers.com. That's moodypublishers.com. Dean, thanks for being with us today, my man.
Absolutely. From Tallahassee, Florida, home of Chicago Cubs manager David Ross.
There you go.
Oh, yeah.
There's
throw
the
that
Chicago
in there.
Connection.
Thanks
go
for
Cubbies.
Being with us.
Absolutely. Thank y'all.
Life-changing info. Hey, it's Super Di, and you are listening to the Carl and Crew Showcast.
Carl and Crew Mornings.
Have you ever been the recipient of a blessing and you didn't know who did it?
Yeah.
Someone left something on your doorstep or slipped something in the mail, or you somehow were blessed, but the person managed to keep their identity withheld from you. Tell us about it. 312-274-9624.
Has that ever happened to you guys? Come on.
Hmm.
You were blessed and nobody, you never found out who.
I think, well, with my education here at Moody, I will never know who gave money towards.
That's a good one.
My education, because of how many amazing donors there are that help Moody students go into ministry without debt.
Yes.
So
the tuition sponsored model. You mm-hmm. may not know this, but Moody Bible Institute has a really cool model where students, they pay some room and board and some fees, but their actual tuition is sponsored. So donors who donate to the university because they believe in the mission, that picks up the tab for people to come here and not take on a lot of debt so that they can go into ministry not saddled with all this money.
It's a big deal.
Yeah.
It really is.
I love it.
Coming up in just a few minutes in Matthew 6, we find something amazing about this very topic.
Yeah, that you can do things in the unseen realm, and there's a real beauty to it.
I'm definitely sharing that one with a friend. I'm Sputnik, and you're listening to the Carl and Crew Showcast.
I want to pray for our city here before we go a step further, and then we're going to get into Boom Kids here in a moment, but let's do this right now. Father, right now, across Chicagoland, even what Super Di reported and what we see all around us, Monday, horribly deadly day, weekend, horrible, deadly weekend, and the amount of children that are suffering and the amount of real terror that's beginning in some parts of our city and really all over, I pray that the God of all peace would come in power. I'm asking for such a miracle of your presence, God, in angelic forces, that we would be blown away at your hand on the move. I know you move through people, Lord, so I pray that we, the church, will be so open to be filled by your Spirit that we will point fingers at no one and we will help everyone in need. God, we live in a thirsty city. Some don't even know what they're going to really quench that thirst with, but I pray we will be ready, just so prepped, ready with the gospel of Jesus at every corner. God, make us the hands and feet of change. I pray in Jesus' name that you will be the God of peace, that shalom will come to our city, that peace will rest here, that the gospel will go out, Lord, and we are not going to settle for this predetermined mindset that we're in some slide that can't be stopped. You can stop a slide, and I'm asking you to do it. I'm asking you to cause your children to be unified, together, strong, that we'd be about the gospel, that I truly pray, God, that finger pointing would go away and that cross-raising and empty tomb testifying would be everywhere. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Life-changing info. Hey, it's Super Di, and you are listening to the Carl and Crew Showcast.
You know, I got to tell you, one of the coolest things that ever happened, and I can do this without letting this be known. I had a friend that I let them know I was going back to South Africa to go back and just take our kids down there to see what was going on. And we'd been preparing for this trip for a while, and we were good to go. This friend of mine, though, when I was telling about some of the people that we ministered to down there in the past and what the situation was in South Africa and some of the pain involved and difficult with employment, he says, I want to do something really cool. And he says, I don't want you to tell anyone except your wife, but my wife and I we feel prompted to help with something. He gave me $10,000 to distribute as I saw fit in South Africa. And it was one of the most powerful things, because when we went back down to South Africa, you need to know that there was not one person, this is many years later, we were there in 1990, our daughter was born there, our son was a little guy there, and I was a coach of a track and field team. But when we went back down 17 years later, with all those friends, there was not one friend that wasn't touched from either AIDS or carjackings, which are horrendously common down there. You think we have them here? Ain't nothing like South Africa. There was not one friend that hadn't been touched by that. And to hear one family that had a son that had been, his life was taken during a carjacking, it was just absolutely painful. The joy that we had of being able to say, this person doesn't want to, they don't want to, you to know who they are, but they want to bless you. And for us to be able to give those monies out, we helped a home that was in absolute disrepair get a roof on it. We were able to just care for the needs of people. And to be able to be praying about that and thinking it through was unbelievable, guys. And, you know, I got to tell you something. To remain in the shadows and to do stuff like that, what a kick in the pants for these friends of ours, huh?
It really is. I mean, we've been talking about the reward that comes from doing these things in secret. And I think about prayer. Prayer is also mentioned here. And all of the prayers that are prayed, not loudly, not in public, not in prayer meetings necessarily, but in someone's living room, someone kneeled down on a bedroom floor praying for, who knows? I don't know who you pray for, who your heart is really burdened for, but those secret prayers are rewarded also.
Yeah, and they cost nothing, and they can change everything. A friend of mine, Bill Wellens in Little Rock one time, pastor, he said, Carl, imagine with me what in the world we're going to find out when we get to heaven, and we're going to look at prayers of people that happened way back here and impacted here. Or people that are praying right now across the city that are impacting what's going on with angelic forces and demonic things being pulled down. It's a powerful thing.
And I like that we're emphasizing the reward and not so much the secret, because this can get, you can take this to the extreme and go, well,
and get weird.
Oh no, somebody found out that that I did this.
Right.
Does this mean I have no reward?
And that 10 grand that was given, we were the ones that dispersed it. God is blessing those people big time. And by the way, he is blessing them big time.
Yes.
So how cool is this?
Yeah.
Are you taking notes? Because I know I am. Hey, I'm Sputnik, and you're listening to the Carl and Crew Showcast.
Let's get a couple callers in right now.
We're asking you, have you ever been the recipient of a secret blessing? Let's go to Roger, first-time caller from Harwood Heights. Tell us about it.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. In high school, this was before I was a Christian, but in hindsight, it was completely God.
Wow.
I went to my high school academic counselor's office, and was inquiring about about applying to colleges, and I told him that I wanted to go to this local community college. And he said, well, your grades are pretty good. You might be kind of bored there. Why do you want to go there? I said, well, that's pretty much all I can afford right now. That night happened to be a college night at my high school, where colleges come in and invite students to colleges advertise themselves, the students apply and whatnot. And my academic counselor gave some kind of speech that night and used me as an example in his speech. I don't really know how, because I wasn't there. The next morning, he called me into his office and said, I gave this talk and I used you as an example, and somebody came up afterwards and asked me what your name is and wanted to help me out. So he said, what college do you want to go to? He will pay all 4 years of books.
Stop. You are kidding me.
So I was dumbfounded. First thing I did was call his mom.
Yes. Yes, absolutely.
Together. But in hindsight,
yeah,
I was able to go to the University of California, Irvine, get a computer, a degree in information and computer science, which is the field I knew I wanted to do all my life since high school. And I don't know where I would be today without this person who did that. It's completely God.
Roger, that's moving. Wow. My man. How many years ago was that, Roger, that you went to college? Just to, give me a guess here.
I'm 53 right now, so it's probably about 35 years ago.
Here's what's awesome about that, Roger, is it still catches in your throat a little bit. Mm. That's what's cool. First-time caller from Harwood Heights. Boom. That's why we call you the Boom Crew. Wow. Kevin in Crystal Lake, what's your story, man?
Good morning. Hey, we were kind of a conduit through which somebody gave an anonymous gift.
Okay, what happened?
And it was we rent a house out in Oregon where we used to live, and they were behind by 3 months because of the pandemic. They weren't able to pay their rent, and my wife and I were like wondering, what are we going to do, you know, because we rely on that money to pay our mortgage for that house.
What happened?
And a couple that we used to go to Bible study with out there called us that morning when we were sitting on the couch. We get this, not didn't call us, but they texted us and said, hey, we want to pay $3,000 towards, because they know these people, they know that they couldn't pay, we want to pay $3,000 towards what they owe you. And that just happened to be the exact amount that they owed us.
Wow.
And so then we were able, I was blessed with the giving the news out to these people, and it was just like this amazing, I don't know, it was totally God. It was just an amazing experience.
Yeah, I mean, Kevin, that is off the chain, man. I mean, that is off the chain. Because here's the dilemma. You got to pay the mortgage. You don't want to put the heavy down on these people. They don't have the money. What do you do?
So I mean, that gift, like, blessed two people.
It's blessed two.
Wow.
That's really cool.
It's a twofer right there.
Don't stop now. There's more good stuff to come. Hey, I'm Young Thunder, and you're listening to the Carl and Crew Showcast.
Sally, thanks for holding on. First-time caller from Skokie. What do you say, Sally?
My husband passed away. It was just now 25 years ago. And very suddenly, without any, expecting.
I'm sorry, Sally. That must have hurt horribly.
Well, I had three children at the time, 10, 12, and 14. And, we had our health and well-being, but essentially that was about it. Mm. And one day in the mail, just exactly like you're describing, I got a card. And in the card, it was just my name on the front, no address, no return address or anything. And inside the car was 8 $100 bills. Mm. And it was the beginning of, a very arduous journey. But I'm telling you, my family and I have done extremely well, and all because the Lord has been with us every inch of the way.
Wow.
Oh, Sally. First-time caller from Skokie. What we're talking here this morning, guys, if you haven't got this yet, is that the power of unseen. And it's taken a little turn here because we were talking about the living without burnout. And we're talking about living unseen, living in the shadows. And there is a lot of burnout. There's a lot of pressure doing everything for the eyes of man. And in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus talks about the power of reward for doing things for the eyes of God mm-hmm. and the good of man, whether it's prayers or giving. And guess what? We're hearing about these people that are giving secretly, that are getting their socks blessed off. They have to be by God because he promises that very thing.
This is amazing. We're in Matthew 6, if you want to check it out, talking about prayer and giving, doing it in an unseen way. And we're hearing incredible stories of people who have been blessed by that kind of faithfulness.
JP from Huntley, we got time to get you in here real quick. JP, what's your story?
Back in the dark ages when I was going to Bible college, it was only costing like $400 for the whole semester. But I went a year and a half, didn't have enough money for another semester. I was packing up to go home. Then I got a call from registration, said, hey, someone paid your next semester with a note that's saying, I believe in you.
Oh, wow.
See, that's the stuff. With the note that says, I believe in you.
Oh my. You'll remember that one.
Thanks for being a part of the Boom Crew. Hey, I'm Sputnik, and you're listening to the Carlin Crew Showcast.
Hold on. Let's go to V in Northwest Burbs. We'll let Renuka get that turned down in the background. V, what do you say, V?
Hi, guys. Thanks for your show. I was really, really blessed years ago. I was serving in what we in my home country call a holiday club. You guys call it a summer camp. I had basically come to the end of the week of serving, and I had no more gas left in my vehicle. And I'd heard a story from missionary friends of mine where they had a similar situation. They prayed about it. The next morning, miraculously, their tank of fuel was full.
Yeah, right.
So I thought, okay, well, I'm going to do the same. I'm going to trust the Lord to get me to church. And I prayed, and I said, okay, Lord, you're going to have to help me figure out a way to get home. And I went to serve, and one of the students that was in the group that I was working with handed me an envelope.
Oh.
And, you know, I sat down afterwards to open the envelope thinking, okay, there's a note. He needs to tell me something, whatever. And out fell a whole bunch of cash.
Oh.
And it turns out she had been moved by the Lord that morning to give me, you know, the cash she gave me. It was her pocket money. And she said, use it for whatever you need. And I had more than enough fuel and gas for my vehicle for the rest of the week. It was just amazing
that
how the Lord undertook.
That is so cool. V, that is wow. Awesome. I love how you turned that around. It's not like God siphoned some gas into your tank. It's that somebody had an envelope. That's so cool. And by the way, those were rands that were in that envelope, right, V?
South African rands, that's it, yeah.
Those were rands. And where were you at in South Africa? I spent a year down there.
Well, I'm actually born and bred from South Africa.
What city were you born and raised around?
Born in Cape Town, lived in East London on the Eastern Cape Coast.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Been in Cape Town not too many years ago. Unbelievable place. V, thank you. And you're, by the way, V, you are a contagious young lady. And I love it. I love it when you call in here. Boom, sister. All right.
Let's get back to Renuka. We're ready for you. Tell us about the time you received an unseen blessing from a family member.
Hello, Renuka.
The blessing what I received is a continuous prayer from my pastor's wife. She was so particular about me, and she was constantly praying for me. I recognized after a few days that I was traveling and I missed a few accidents very narrowly. Then I could see in many situations that God is with me and God is always protecting me, even though I'm not praying for myself. I could see the prayer, the power of prayer, which is holding me and protecting me. And after a few months or a year or so, I recognized that this is the lady who is praying for me continuously, and that is what has protecting me.
Love it, Renuka. That is awesome.
Awesome.
And I'm telling you, listen to me. Some of you are saying, oh, come on. Yes, it's true. Yes, it's true.
Come on, somebody. Hey, I'm Allie, and you're listening to the Carlin Crew Showcast.
I want to give you a quick heads up on something here that I've mentioned a couple of times today. And Allie, I think you know where I'm going right now.
Oh, yes, I think I do.
It's been awesome because a lot of the stories that we've had today have revolved around connection to the body of Christ and being known enough where God can move. You know, I want to tell you, when you are in church, I think sometimes, I mean really in church, I'm talking being the church, not going to church, things change, I mean in a big way, and you won't know it until tragedy strikes. Janine and I have a dear friend, Scott Ziegler. We love this guy. My bride loves to remind me of one of the most famous things Scott is famous for saying, and I don't know that he's famous for it enough, but it's really great wisdom. You know, a lot of pastors say, we want you to get to church, and who knows why that's said oftentimes, but for Scott, he says it in a very sincere and a very substantive way. He's been a pastor long enough that he says, I want you to become a part of the church, and I want to say this to you on behalf of our morning show here. I want you to become a part of a church, and as Scott Ziegler says it, you don't know when tragedy is going to strike. You don't know when your job is going to be lost. You don't know when we're going to have a national crisis, when we need each other, and yes, you need us. You know, that's just the straight-up truth. You can't, going it alone in this world, it's too dangerous a world. If you haven't looked around lately, people, have you looked around lately and noticed these are not peace and safety days like we find in Matthew 25.
Right.
They are not. These are no shalom, no peace, and very little safety days. These are days of great concern. These are days when you need to be in the church because you don't know when you're going to need someone. And here's the other thing I'm going to add to it. You don't know how much you can be a blessing to someone when they have their feet kicked out from under them. These are days when we need to be the church as never before. I'm asking you to no longer just go to church. I'm asking you to be the church. Roll up your sleeves. Get involved. Be part of a team. Volunteer. We call them ambassadors at 180 Chicago. Any volunteers, we just call them ambassadors for Christ, according to 2 Corinthians 5. So I'm asking you, where's God got you right now? Are you on the outskirts of the church? I'm asking you to take one big, giant step in. What's that game that we played back in the day? That game where you took a giant step forward or giant...
Red light, green light?
Green
light,
yeah.
Yeah, I'm asking you to go green light.
Yep.
Green light right on in. Green light, step forward right now into the church. Hey, this is Carl with Carl and Crew, and I'm so grateful that you listened to this showcast. Thank you mostly for being part of the Boom Crew. As we help you take your next step with Jesus, you're a huge encouragement to us. We'll be here again live every weekday morning from 5 to 9 a.m. Godspeed.